Welcome to the Six Figure Business Mastery Podcast, where every week, Kirsten and Jeannie dive into the essential topics to fuel your business growth. From copywriting to course creation, mindset to video marketing, they've got you covered. Tune in for expert guest interviews on all things marketing and business, and learn how to work on your business, not just in it. So, get ready to unlock your business potential and take it to the next level.
Have you thought about starting your podcast, but just don't know where to start? Do you need gear, AI tools? How do you stay consistent?
Today's episode is sponsored by our Profit Clarity Masterclass. If you've been avoiding your finances and promising yourself you'll deal with it later, you're not broken, you're normal. Join us for a free live masterclass to learn a simpler way to bring clarity and relief. Visit lessmathmoremoney.com and we look forward to seeing you there.
Teaching people about podcasting, I always like to hear the backstory.
I was actually at a coffee shop and I was working there at the time, and everybody, and when I would announce people's drinks, they'd be like, oh, you have a radio voice, you should be on radio. I'm like, that's going to be difficult because you got FCC guidelines and all that other stuff that I don't even know about. And they're like, oh, you should also start a podcast. I'm like, I don't even know how to do that either. So it took me a while, but then I figured out the name and I was like, all right, I'll just do this. I did it with a friend, and then the friend was a flake, so I was like, fine, I'll do it myself. And then I found an app to do it, and it was very terrible recording because, again, I didn't know anything about this industry, and it was like 2014, 2015. So it wasn't at its like trajectory as it is right now. So I eventually moved over, broke my RSS feed 3 times in the process, which, if you guys don't know, that your RSS feed is your lifeline to everything. So if you break that, your episodes don't ever go live anywhere. They just kind of sit there in the dead internet and you just can't do anything. So I was like, all right, I guess I'm going to have to figure out where to go and actually do this. So I figured out all the companies and then I just went from there. My podcast was originally about gaming, tech, and marketing. And then I started to split them off because I felt that was just too much in one episode. And I'm switching between 3 different ideas. And that's just never a good idea.
You learn the hard way, don't you? That's how most of us learn. We learn the hard way by starting and doing messy. Yeah, that's awesome though. So you split those off. So now you have 3 channels or 2 channels. How did you do that?
I'm currently just 2 right now because I'm trying to figure out the third option just because, well, as we'll get into, it's a lot of work. And so doing even 2 by yourself is quite a bit. It's why my gaming one is only audio only, because it's a little easier to edit and push it out than the video, because the video you have to look through, you have to make sure the video looks good, the audio looks good, you do zoom ins, transitions, or whatever else you need to do. So right now, just 2, once I figure out that timeline, or if I have the bandwidth to do it, I'll go back into the tech one. But right now, it's just digital marketing and gaming.
Nice. So why do you think people should start a podcast? What's the advantages of having one?
First of all, you can figure out what you want to talk about. You also can talk about whatever you want. So it's your show, so people can do what they want with it. Second, it's just fun to talk to different people if you do an interview one. So my gaming one is called a solo podcast. That basically means that I'm talking to my microphone with nobody else for about 30 minutes, which is a challenge if you don't know what you're talking about. If me, I know what I'm talking about. I've been gaming since I was a wee little kid. And so I know what the industry, and I look at what's going on in the industry and I know what I'm talking about. So that's not a problem. But there are, for listeners, there's 3 different versions of podcasts or different types. There's the solo, which is my gaming one. There's the interview, which a lot of people know about because that's mainly what a lot of podcasts are. They're just interview based. And there's co-hosts / interviews, but it's usually co-hosts. So you have somebody else with you. They all have their pros and cons. They all can do different things. But to start a podcast, it's great because you get to direct whatever you want to do. You get to direct who you want to be on here. And you can say yes or no to anybody you want. If you don't like the person, you don't actually have to produce the actual episodes. I generally always produce the episodes. So I feel like that's an obligation to them that you spent the time to, for me to interview you, I should spend the time to actually produce and post it.
I have a confession to make. We've only 1 time not published an episode, and the woman, she was so nervous. It was just a terrible episode. So we decided to be kind. We just said the audio didn't turn out nicely, but then I spent some time coaching her and talking to her. And I think since she'd already done it before, The second interview with her was fantastic. Like it was like, because you have this hard time, like you have the, like you said, ethically, they've given us time to come on our show and to be here and share their knowledge and their experience with our audience. So we should produce those podcasts and put them out. But I just didn't feel like she would be proud of it. And Jeannie was like, no. So we just talked about it. We said, let's just save her feelings because I don't want her to be more nervous when she comes on again. Let's just tell her the audio was bad. Let's pick another date. And but I said, I'll find time to chat with her beforehand and just give her some pointers. And it was so much better. Yeah, I agree with you. Like, we're so grateful to our guests. We're so grateful that we get to have all these amazing conversations and learn new things from people we would never probably run into otherwise.
That's the thing. I've had issues with Squadcast where I've had actually I had three episodes and they were right after each other. So I had no episodes to produce. So I had to go contact people and be able to look at the, it was my end. I don't know why, but I had nothing. So I was like, we're going to have to redo this. And I couldn't really produce anything that episodes. I never or rarely miss an actual week unless I'm sick and or there's something wrong with it. Or if it's the video's bad, then I'll contact them and be like, look it, I'll produce the audio. But if you would like, we can do an additional one where I give you the video as well. So I do my best to give them the benefit of the doubt and give them all the necessary. But I think it's fine. If it's this is a bad episode and you want to soften the blow is probably what the best way of saying it. You're like, yeah, the audio's bad, but can we redo it? And it's like the reasons why my first question on my marketing podcast after the introduction is, are you a coffee or tea drinker? Not because it's a throwaway question, it's just guiding people into answering questions.
Yeah, that's so smart. Yeah, you did that with me when I was on your show. It's I'm glad we're having this conversation because we're talking about the things that don't go well. Everybody's always, oh, it's so amazing. And it is amazing, but stuff happens. We had an awesome interview. And at the end, we realized we hadn't hit record. Right? So again, if you're podcasting and you're doing a lot of episodes, things are going to happen, but people understand, right? It's just we're human, technology's technology, things happen. So outside of that, why else do you feel like people should start a podcast?
It's a slow build. Let me get that out the door. If nobody knows your name, if you're not a celebrity or whatever, any type of clout, it will be a slow build. So don't expect overnight success unless it's a really niche type of industry and no one's actually doing it. It's a way of getting your expertise out and showcasing that you know what you're talking about, or at least willing to learn to know what you're talking about as well. If you're doing interview-based podcasts, because a lot of times I don't know everything about marketing, so I just ask the questions. And sometimes I know a lot about it. Sometimes I have no idea about what is actually going on. Most people don't know, but like most of my episodes, I write questions, but I don't use 90% of them, except for the top two and the top and the bottom two. The rest of it, I will change on the fly. That's because I know the industry. So I change a lot on the fly just because sometimes the guest wants to talk about something else, and I'm like, all right, luckily I know enough to go with you on that.
Yeah, I think it's so interesting because having a podcast, I think, can build authority. But like you said, it's a slow build. It can help you build your email list if you have a nice call to action to do that. What we have found is we've gotten clients who are guests. So we've had clients who actually came on and became our guests who came on and became our clients. But we've also become clients of people. We're like, oh, we were just talking about we needed that. And then we met this person and had a great conversation. So we used them, right? And then we've met so many people that we've either created affiliate relationships with or referral partnerships with. And one of the things that I love most about the podcasting space is that people genuinely want to connect. You and I connected because I was on your podcast. We had a great conversation. I was like, you got to come on ours. But I'm sure we'll stay connected because there's always a way for collaboration. And I think that's the other thing that I have found about podcasting, whether it's the host or the guest, is that people are not looking at a way to be competitive, but looking at it a way that we can all collaborate and help each other, which is one of the things I've loved most.
Yeah, podcasting is a great networking opportunity too, because you actually don't have to go to those networking party things that I don't think anybody really likes those networking events, to be honest with you. I've been to a lot, and they don't really produce very much because it's just kind of like, oh, hey, how's it going? And then I may use you, may not. I don't really know. Okay. This one seems to be a lot, bears more fruit than those networking events that should bear fruit, but rarely do.
Networking is a skill too, right? I think it's even like podcasting. I always tell people if you're the host, and I can speak from experience, you don't know what you're doing in the beginning. You're just trying to figure it out. But same thing as if you're a guest. First couple of times you're a guest on someone else's podcast, you're just trying to figure it out. And then I think there always has to be a way to have follow-up, whether you're networking or being on a podcast. There has to be some sort of system where you choose to stay in touch with people to make the collaborations actually work. And I think as human beings, we get so busy. Like we were talking before the recording about how we're all busy. Creating a podcast keeps you busy. And so making sure that you pencil in that time to be able to take the relationship to the next level.
Yeah. And once you get more established, like I'm having the problem of answering all the emails for guest stuff.
Yes.
It can be a little overwhelming. Like people don't know if you're a one man show and you get 10 emails a day on like guests, you're like, I'll get to it eventually because it's, I got this episode that I need to publish whatever day you're actually wanting to publish it. So that's my first priority. And then that becomes a later priority, which unfortunately can be a few months later because I got other stuff to do. I publish 2 episodes every week.
That's nice. That's really nice. Yeah. We just recently handed that off to our VA. So we handed it off to the VA that books me on podcasts. Now we just forward her all the emails and we've given her parameters to say this would be a good guest. And she's been with us for a long time. So she's pretty much dialed it in and she'll invite them to be on the show. If she's not sure, she'll always kick it back to us and say, hey, I think they'd be a good guest, but because they do this and this, I want to make sure. So yeah, that's something you'll be able to delegate before long, Brett.
So down to brass tacks, what do people need equipment wise to start a podcast? Do they have to have headphones? Do they have to have a good microphone? What kind of software should they use?
If you're just doing an audio only podcast, there are some pretty decent ones at pretty decent prices. So it's depending on what type of microphone you get. So there are 2 different versions. There's a condenser mic and there's a dynamic mic. The one I have right now is a dynamic mic. So you have to have a little bit closer to your actual, well, face, mouth. And so to do that, you have to make sure that it's there because it's something called rejection. So it usually rejects a lot of what's behind it and it only really focuses on what's ahead of it. Condenser mic is a little bit more open. It picks up a lot more different things. So condenser mic is good for sound treated rooms and dynamic mic is better for not as treated rooms, meaning that for a typical like office like me, I had to figure out hard surfaces bounce everything off the walls and the floor if it's a hardwood floor. So you have to understand that noise travels, and if I didn't have this throw carpet, then it would travel more. If I didn't have the Elgato Wave panels, sound panels, it would bounce off even more. So you're going to have to look at your room first and figure out beyond just the gear, how can I make this more sound treated than soundproof? Soundproof is more expensive. Sound treated, you could do what I do in behind me, I have different stuff and it will help bounce or mitigate a lot of the bouncing of the sound. Now for your microphone, like I said, you can get a microphone. Elgato has a Wave 3 for around $150 and it's a USB one. And they have really great software that kind of what makes it good. And it also allows you to separate your audio channels. So let's say you want to have your mic on there. You want to have, if you're doing it live or you want to do it as live as possible, you can have a music one and you can dial it in to be as loud or silent as you want. It's a really great software. They are going to be launching their 3rd version of their Wave software that is going to be not attached to their Wave mic anymore. So you could actually do more professional stuff. Now, there's another one that I recommend that's USB only. It's a dynamic one called Beacon, but it's gone up in price since I got it. It was like $250. Now it's $350. But they have some of the best software I've ever seen for making sure your mic sounds good. Now, that's a little bit more pricey, but they also do have the separate audio channels. Now, I use the Rodecaster Pro 2. It's a little bit more expensive for the mixer, but it's a standalone mixer that you can carry anywhere you want. You could have it hooked up to the Wi-Fi. You could have it hooked up to your networking or Ethernet cables. So you can actually have it hooked up. It has 4, the Pro one has 4, the Mini has 2 audio channels. So you can put 2 microphones and or musician stuff. So like a guitar, you can actually put it in there. It also now has, you could also for Rode, they have their wireless stuff. You could also put that on there. They just launched their remote audio recording only, where if someone, for example, Zoom and or say Riverside have the audio video. This one's just audio only but you could do remote audio through the Rodecaster Pro as well. You also have to get a mic, so you could get a $100 Rode Pod mic, which is actually really good, and they do have basically the best hardware software combo for dialing in your audio, because you have to remember your audio is more important than your video right now, because you're going to several different places that your video is never. So make sure your audio is dialed in. Now for video, you could actually just use your phone. Your phone has on the back camera has some of the best stuff for just static shots, because you're not really moving too much. You're not like, you're not gonna be walking across the room unless you really want to do that. But usually that's what you do. Now for me, I have the Rodecaster Video that hooks, that can work in conjunction to the Rodecaster Pro. So I can have 7 audio plus 4 wireless mics if I wanted to. I could have a lot. I have a lot of options for that one. That one's also has the same kind of audio configurations for that. And that's just the gear wise. So I recommend if you're starting out, go with the cheaper option first. See if you really want to do it. Don't do this because this just gets complicated and you have to know what you're doing. I also have a Elgato teleprompter that's actually connected to my camera. So that's why I'm looking at you more often, because there's a screen that I can just look at you. So if you're having an issue with that, you can do that as well. A little bit more expensive that way, but it also helps you look at the camera and not look at your screen. So there's that as well. Now for the software side, I use DaVinci Resolve because I could record my audio or I could record my audio and video without anything else. I could also edit everything through that one. There's a free version and there's a one-time fee, $350 version. And so if you want to do the studio one, which gives you more, and that's great, but you could just try the free version of it. But that's my recommendation because it gives you both and you don't have to do two separate programs. My issue with Adobe is A, it's expensive, and B, you're always having to switch between Premiere, Auditions, and After Effects if you do that type of thing. So you're switching between 3 different programs. Resolve puts that all into one, so it's easy to switch between back and forth. And they have the best color grading out there between all 3. That means Final Cut Pro is not as good. Adobe is definitely not as good. And Resolve was known for its color grading. That's why it's so good. So there's that option. You could also use Final Cut Pro if you're on Mac. You can use Resolve on Mac and Linux if you wanted to. They also have both have apps. They've had apps before Premiere has had apps. Premiere just launched their, I think, iPhone app recently, but I'm not really in favor of them because it's free, but you have to do a lot of the advanced work. You have to pay for it. It's a one-time fee for Resolve. It's also a yearly, it's $50 a year for Final Cut Pro. Final Cut Pro is better on the iPad. I think it's a little bit more intuitive. They work really AI-wise. If you want to do clips, Opus Clips is always a good one. They have a really good plan for yearly. It's like $14.50 a month, so it's like $174 a year, which is not bad for a yearly thing. I use Cast Magic as well for all my written stuff. So that's basically if I want to do intro, if it gives me titles, it gives me notable clips or quotes if that's what you need. It also gives me a ton of different things like written content for the email newsletter, written content for the blog. It does a ton of things within minutes or seconds, which would take me hours to actually do. I also recommend, if you don't like that one, CapShow is another good one that I've played around with. I got this all through AppSumo, by the way, so it was a lifetime yearly thing. That's another good option to do. For music wise, Melody has a lifetime subscription you could also look at, and then audio, I still think they have a lifetime subscription, which is commercial, which means you could use on anything you want to. That's another good one because audio is a hard thing to get. You have to make sure that it's all commercial free or commercial ready. If it's not, you're going to run into a lot of problems and you probably have to take your episode down, redo it, and put it back up. Now for ID3 tags, there's a few open source ones. And if you don't know what that means, it basically means on your audio, you can give it the title, give it the artist, which is just you, give it the album. I just put my podcast name on it. Comments, I put all the keywords in there, and then year 2020 or whatever current year is. And then you can put your podcast logo on there and it just helps with the SEO side of it. It's the old school way of doing it, but it still works pretty well. So I always recommend that. And then make sure you have, now I use Captivate And so that's the hosting one. They also have AI built into it. And so it will give you all that stuff within their AI credits. They're pretty generous on their AI stuff as well. So I would recommend, if you want to do that, if you're doing interview based ones, it's actually a really good one because it gives you the booking link. It also gives you a little thing for guests to fill out stuff for them so you could showcase them on the episode as well. They are eventually going to be doing audio interview, remote interviews as well. So that will be tacked on for 2026. And then they also have tips and memberships built into it as well, if you are looking for that as well. If you're looking for merch, Fourth Wall is a good one as well. It basically allows you to make merch without having to supply the actual materials and house the materials. So it's a very good on-demand shop. It allows you to connect your podcast and a bunch of different things. Email newsletter, I recommend Beehive. It's been the more popular one to do. They are always making new stuff with it. It's very easy and intuitive to do as well. That kind of sums up a lot of the stuff.
I'm thinking, Brett, oh my gosh, you need to have that tech channel back because you know your tech stuff. I'm over here taking notes. And I also realized, because I just came off of a coaching call, my microphone was moved halfway across the table. So when you're talking about the microphone, I'm pulling it closer. So that was incredible. Oh my gosh, you gave everybody so much valuable information as far as the different tech stacks that they can use.
It may be a little overwhelming, but I think the three main things for people podcasting, if you're doing video, make sure your background lighting is good, because actually lighting is the second biggest thing. Your video can be not as high quality. Like, I have the Panasonic S5 II or Mark IIX. I hate DSLR camera names. They're never really good, and it's hard to really remember them. But I have that. But you could use your Android or your iPhone, because they have really high quality on the end, and then eventually move up to it. Because as we discussed before this recording, most podcasts never get past the third episode, and most of them never get past their 10th episode.
That's crazy to me, because we absolutely love podcasting, but I think it is the tech part, right? And it is all the production work. So there is a lot that goes into it.
Yeah. How do you help people like go beyond the third episode? How do you help them, encourage them to keep at it? Because it is, like Kirsten said, it's a great platform. We love it.
It is discouraging when it's like, hey, I released a new episode and I got 3 downloads. That's the hardest, like, heartbreak. It's okay, how do I do this? Either through advertising or through just broadcasting it out. It's a lot. That's why like the AI Opus Clips helps with broadcasting that out, because you can tell it where to go and you don't have to maintain it or manage it as much as you have to. It's just really just like everything, even YouTube channels and everything else, it's the consistency that actually matters the most. You can be terrible at first, and it's okay to be terrible. Just make sure your audio does not sound like, there's something called a threshold of pain in audio that basically means that people can only handle as much audio when it's at that pitch where you're like, oh, that hurts so much. So be sure you're below that threshold of pain, because people then will actually listen to you. Now, if you want to be more precise, you should have your podcasting at negative 16 dB. That's the actual recommended noise level. Resolve on Fairlight has this thing where it will show you a thing of where it is on the dB level, and then you can manipulate it to be at that. I wouldn't put it at exact negative 16. I would probably put it at negative 17, 18, negative 19 dB, but you want it around the 20 to 16 threshold. So you're at that thing. For YouTube, it's negative 14 dB. So you have to make sure that each one of them are actually to the threshold of the actual sound, because YouTube will actually upscale or make it louder, and that usually doesn't go very well.
Very interesting. I'm learning so much from you today, Brett. Thank you so much. This has been awesome. So if our clients want to connect with you, how can they do that?
I'm on just about anything you could imagine. On LinkedIn, I try to do as much as I can through that. I have a newsletter through LinkedIn as well for my marketing one. I also have newsletters for my marketing and my gaming one. I haven't started quite yet. I'm still figuring out that thing, but you can always subscribe to it. My website is digitalcafe.media for all the podcasting stuff that you want to do. I also have stuff for services. If you're looking to do something like that, I will either give you, hey, you should do that podcast, or I'll give you just be a guest, because it's a lot easier, because you don't have to do as much with it. But I will give you the truth. even if it's a no or if it's not business for me, because I'd rather you be successful in podcasting and not do this just and buy all this gear and have it go to dust or collect dust.
Right. I love that. We'll put all of your information in the show notes below.
Yep, including both your podcasts for people to go to. And if you have a link for your gear as well that you like, we can put that in the show notes too.
Yeah, I think I have it on Amazon. I might have to update it, but I'll see if I have it, because I know I did it several years ago. That's how long I did it. But I did have a gear. I might have to update those gear lists because it all changes quite quickly. And so I will do that. And then if you guys need any help, just please message me.
That's so awesome. Thank you, Brett, so much for joining us. And thank you, everyone who listened to the show. Again, Kirsten and Jeannie with Six Figure Business Coaching. Thank you for being here today.
Thanks for listening to the Six Figure Business Mastery Podcast. If you enjoyed listening to this episode and you are ready to leverage video marketing on all online platforms, or maybe even start your own video podcast, then you need to check out the Done For You and Done With You program at themarketingvaadvantage.com and take your business to the next level.